All right, I guess we're going to begin. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming to your web series, From Concept to Distribution. Definitely the most compelling title of all the panels here at South by Southwest. But the reason I chose that word, your web series, is because I want this panel to be very general, stuff that applies to you, information that you can take. I don't want to get real specific with my stories about how I did it. I want to talk about my stuff, but then other people's stuff and things I've learned from people who have made web series. So I'm just going to go through and give you a very general overview of the entire process. And the panel is definitely geared toward people who have not made a web series before. Although if some of you have, hopefully there's some nuggets you can get out of it. A little bit about me. My name is Scott Rice. I make a living now as a commercial director. I used to work in video games for Activision. I was an art director, then went to grad school, taught at UT at the University of Texas here in town for a while. I was getting my directing career up and going, and then got into commercials and web series kind of accidentally, actually. I made a lot of short films as well, and one of my specialties is talking about shorts and how to write effective shorts. So if you want to talk about that afterwards, you can come up and see me. Also, if you're interested in having a commercial career, I can talk to you about how to get into that too. So afterwards, just come up and talk to me. My partner, who's going to be here today, Austin Menges, just got back from L.A., and he's kind of under the weather, so he's not here. He's kind of the guy who has a little bit more of the expertise in distribution, kind of more the creative side, but I know a good amount about distribution, too, so I'll give you the knowledge I have on that. So first of all, as we go on today, I want to ask questions of you guys because there's a lot of knowledge in here. So if you have a comment or question, just throw it out as we're going. We don't need to wait till the end. I feel like at the end, a lot of questions don't get to and they don't get answered. So go ahead and throw stuff out as we go. We want to try and get you on mic, though, because they're recording this. So it'd be great if someone could fly a mic out, or I'll run to you with my mic. And before we begin, I want to gauge you guys. How many here have made a web series? Awesome. And how many here have made a web series and got some form of distribution, got some kind of payment for it, or gotten it funded? Okay, sweet, great. And how many people here want to make a web series? Okay, excellent. Well, you came to the right place. One more question. How many people watch web series regularly? Okay, interesting. Good amount of you. Okay, excellent. Are there some favorite web series out there you want to just yell out real quick? Okay. Other ones that we should watch that you'd recommend? Anything on Coldcast TV? Okay. One more? Okay, great. Thank you. Well, before we begin, I'm going to go ahead and show, I'm going to give you a general history of the web series I did. I made a web series called Script Cops, which that image there is from. And we made it just for fun for the Austin Film Festival trailer competition a number of years ago. We totally just did it for fun. Then we put it on the web. And we also made a short film version of it because I was like, well, if nothing happens with this, maybe we'll have a short film. We can go to some festivals. The short film had a festival run, won some awards. And then Sony saw the episodes that we put online and purchased the distribution rights for the episodes that we had made and contracted us to make 9 more. So that's what happens. And then Script Cops was successful. Through Sony, their webpage Crackle. And then we were able to make another web series called Never Do This with MTV Networks. And that web series went on to play on Comedy Central. So what I'm going to do is, just so you kind of have a sense, tell you one last thing about Script Cops. Script Cops, when the license lapsed with Sony, we're able to license it to Final Draft Software. So Script Cops has continued to have a life long after it was originally made. What I want to do in this session is go over the basics of making a web series. I want to start with concept and talk a little bit about choosing your concept, some problems you guys might be struggling with regarding your concept. Should you do it on spec? Should you just go out and make it? Should you just spend money and make it, or should you just keep pitching it to money people? I want to talk a little bit about the writing process, a little bit about the production process, and then exposure. Once you get your web series done, a lot of you have made web series but haven't sold it yet. I want to talk about how to get it out there, how to get it seen, how to get someone to want to buy it or sponsor it. And then we'll talk a bit about distribution and getting a deal, doing contracts. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about life after web series. So before we begin, I'm going to show you a clip from these two web series that I've done called Never Do This and Script Cops. These are actually 6 episodes, 3 from each of the series, but it's very short. It's just 5 minutes long. The episodes are very short. So let's take a look at that. You can see where I'm coming from, and then we'll talk some more. Hold on a sec.
I'm bored.
Well, you want to make a sex tape? Huh? Yeah, you like that?
Hey, you want to see something camera worthy?
Hold on a minute. Okay.
Oh, he's taking his pants off.
I'm not taking my dang pants off. I'm just showing you a trick, okay?
I believe in you, Daryl.
All right. Here it comes. Here it is.
Holy shit! Daryl, are you okay? Oh my god! What is that?
Holy shit!
What is that?
Daryl!
Shit! Oh my god! Oh my god!
The following program endorses the eradication of bad motion picture screenplays. Viewer discretion is advised.
Bad boys,
Script Cops is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement.
I've been on the force 10 years. You're dealing with people whose aspirations are rooted in delusion. They don't like facing the reality that their work is bad. We shatter a lot of dreams. We're checking out a noise complaint. Somebody heard cursing and yelling from next door. Could be some amateurs rehearsing Mammoth. Could be something worse, we don't know.
Officer, here, please. Help me.
Hold on. What's the problem?
My husband, he's trying to make me read the screenplay he wrote. I just can't do it again.
Is he a paid professional, ma'am? Has he ever sold a script before?
He watches the sci-fi channel a lot.
Sir, drop the script. Get on your knees.
Just put it down, honey.
Honey, don't do this to me.
Drop the script, sir.
I only have one act left.
You said that 3 years ago.
Drop the script now.
Officer, please. Just listen to the first 10 pages.
Do not read the script, sir!
Yellow on black titles read, "It is the future. The fifth gate of Galadon is about to be opened, unleashing a warrior alien race."
God dang it. That was too close.
You ever wonder what happens when you eat Pop Rocks and soda?
Well, you're about to find out.
Oh, go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, got it.
Go to your mommy, Errol. Oh, tell her what to do.
Oh, oh, God. No! Ah!
We have a situation with a writer. He's demanding a top literary agent, but his record doesn't look that good.
I start shooting people.
Calm down. Shane Black's agent's on the line, but he needs to hear a pitch.
The zombie sex comedy starring Paris Hilton.
Bad hit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Shoot me. Just shoot me. Kill me. Somebody kill me.
Somebody call.
Ah!
Okay, be very careful now, kids. These are real bows and arrows.
Oh, shit.
We got a tip the Ed Wood gang's meeting here tonight. Screenwriting group been terrorizing some of the local production companies since January.
Mailing in
unsolicited screenplays. Cold calling.
Wait for the signal, folks. The signal.
Eternal sunshine, eternal sunshine.
Drop it! Drop it. Get up.
I haven't seen anything like this before.
Quite a score.
I'd guess $800, maybe $900 million if they got produced.
What do they do with them? Where do they all go?
That's it. As you can tell, I'm a very serious filmmaker. Does anyone have any quick questions about what they saw there? Yeah, go ahead.
I saw that you made use of the Cops theme music in one of your pieces, but what are your thoughts on like music licensing? Is it a big deal or not?
It's a big deal. So I cheated. So the web series actually does not contain that song, but the short film that played in festivals does, because you can get away with it. So when I made this to show you today, I tacked on that intro that is from the short film version of it. Also, that John Williams music at the end, the Raiders of the Lost Ark ending, that music we rescored so that it didn't sound, it's kind of echoed it, but it didn't sound like it. But that version is the version that's on the short film as well. So if you're doing a web series and someone's paying for it, you can't have that stuff in there. If you're a short film going to festivals, you're not supposed to. You kind of get away with it. You're not making money on it. Correct. Well, at that point, they weren't. Yeah. Was there one more question?
I noticed that these shorts and a lot of shorts that I see are like comedy. Do you know of any like other kinds of genres off the top of your head? Like drama or whatever?
Sure. It's I don't know a lot. I've seen a few web series that are dramatic, but it's hard to pull them off. Comedy works so well in that short form. It's the same thing with short films. You don't have a lot of time to get people invested in characters. I'm trying to think of some dramatic web series I've seen that I remember. Does anyone have a dramatic web series that even comes to mind? What's it called? Oh, The Bannon Way. Pink? Okay, great. There's a couple to look for. Go ahead. Lonely Girl 15? Okay, good. Yeah? Oh, cool. So we should all move to Canada. Yeah. But you don't fund Americans' films. Okay, co-productions maybe. Okay, great. I'll talk a little bit about dramatic web series a little bit later. But let's talk a little bit about concept right now. Concept's kind of a tricky thing. For me on Script Cops, it was challenging because we didn't know if it should be like Reno 911 and be like real broad comedy, a lot of tongue-in-cheek, a lot of overacting and stuff, or should it be like CSI, should it not be like Cops, but like a dramatic TV show. And one reason we chose parodying Cops, one, That's an initial hook. People like to watch the show Cops, even if they don't want to admit it. Cops is fun to watch. People seen it, they kind of get it. So doing a parody of Cops was fun, and it was easier to shoot in terms of production value. It didn't take as much money to go out there with three cameras and just have everyone run around and shoot a bunch of footage. We shot outside. We didn't really have to light it. So that was another reason we went that direction. You have to ask yourself what your audience is when you're coming up with your concept. Is it niche? Is it broad? For us, we decided to go very niche because we knew there would be a select few group of people like you, writers and producers, who would get the screenwriting jokes. So that was a very specific decision. We felt like we would have an audience. It wouldn't be a big, broad, giant audience, but it would be respectable, and writers and producers would see it. So ask yourself, are you going for like a big, broad audience, or are you really just going to commit to just getting a specific group interested in your show? Now, you might have heard some people take this one step further and say you really have to have a serious strategy for how to get your web series out there. I was at a panel yesterday. I'm sure a lot of you heard this line, hope isn't a strategy. Did some of you hear that? Isn't that kind of sad? Don't you want to have hope? I mean, it's kind of sad. And I guess my reaction to that is that a lot of successful web series didn't have a clear strategy. I never intended Script Cops to be a strategy, ever. We just made it for fun, basically, for a film festival, and then somebody saw it and went on. Were any of you at the panel, FCU guys, the fact checkers unit? Did anyone see that? Okay, one person. Those guys made a short film that happened to have Bill Murray in it, which helped. Went to Sundance, and someone saw it and said, hey, we should turn that into a web series. They never intended that to be a web series either. They just made something that they thought was funny with Bill Murray. So I guess what I'm saying is that there's a lot of ways to succeed, and I think you could run into a trap. If you're trying to strategize and you're trying to say, well, I'm going to make this much money, and I'm going to go to this place, and I'm going to appeal to this audience, and I'm going to target this sponsor, you kind of suck the life and soul out of the project that you're creating. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, make something that you just really love. Make it and see what happens. Maybe it'll hit, maybe it won't. If it doesn't, hopefully you haven't spent too much money. You can go on to the next project. That's sort of my philosophy about making stuff, because I feel like it just has to come from somewhere real, not from somewhere financial. And especially if you make the episodes cheap, you're really not running the risk of sinking your life. If you'd make three or four episodes, you're in good shape. But still, the hard truth is that very few web series are successful, and advertisers aren't 100% into the web yet. They're a little bit scared. So I think you can minimize risk by coming up with a backup plan. I mentioned that I made a short film out of my web series. How many of you have thought about a backup plan, something to do with your web series other than you made it? What were some of the options that you guys came up with?
Well, I'm working on a documentary web series, and I'm still thinking about a way to eventually turn that into like a feature length thing, but sort of something different and something more than what the documentary series itself was. So almost like a concert film. Okay. Something like that.
So potentially rolling it into a feature, which is awesome. What's your idea?
I had a similar idea, but I wanted to use the web series to promote the documentary because I'm doing a documentary on independent music. So I have the idea of using clips that maybe didn't make it into the main feature as web vignettes.
That's great. One other?
I had the idea of if it isn't more, commercially successful web, that I would turn it educational. And because one could emphasize the different cultures with this exact same story and how it plays out in a different country or different society, a different religious group.
That's great. I think those are all really good ideas, especially the idea of potentially using it as a pitch to get a feature made. I think that's a great idea. As all of you know, people do that with short films all the time. Why not do it with a web series? It just makes sense. You could also do it as a TV show pitch, you know, but you might, you know, maybe your web series doesn't work as a web series, but it might work as something that is longer format, you know, on TV. So you never know. Now, with celebrities now in the game, what do you guys think about that? Competing against Tom Hanks and who else? Jason Bateman. Who else has gotten into this arena? Yell out some names. Lisa Kudrow. Who else? Shaquille O'Neal. Will Ferrell. It's tough. How do you compete with them? Does anyone have any ideas? You don't. You know what? That was my answer too. And how do you not compete with them? Get other big guys. Well, get something bigger. That wasn't what I had in mind. But you could, if you have access, could, you know, go feel for Bill Murray. Build your own audience. Make something of good quality. What was on my, those are all true. You could make something that they can't make. Okay, make something that's too small for them to make. Make something that's too edgy for them to make. Make something that's too introspective for them to make. Just make something that doesn't really make sense for them to make. Make something that it makes sense for you to make. So focus on that. I would not try to compete with those guys because they have a lot of money. They have a lot of production value. If you try to do exactly what they're doing, sometimes it won't work. So that's my advice about that. Dramatic web series. I'm going to come back to this real quick. This is a really tricky one. A professor of mine once said to his film students, you might as well make it funny because the audience is going to laugh anyway. Which is a terrible thing to say to your film students. But what he meant was that a lot of times when you don't have the writing chops, you don't have the directing chops, you maybe don't have great actors to go out there and do something dramatic, it's just a lot harder to get the audience on your side, and people are potentially going to laugh at it or not take it seriously. So for those of you, and raise your hand, I'm very curious, who wants to make a dramatic web series? Okay, there's a good amount of you. I really tip my hat to you because I think it's hard. The only thing I'll say is just make sure you're ready for that. Just make sure you feel like you've graduated from film school, so to speak. Because it's tricky. Any general questions on concept? Any thoughts before we move on to whether or not you should do your series on spec? Yeah, back there.
It's also what I'm interested in. That's obviously different.
Mm-hmm. I myself don't watch a lot of documentary series. I mean, I've seen, I mean, this thing, was anyone at the Funny or Die panel with the new game show, which is a combination of, yeah, a game show and Man on the Street? I mean, that's the closest I'd probably get to watching a documentary web series, something that's just funny and silly. I haven't seen a lot. I would, you know, I'm kind of a narrative guy, so I would just research the ones out there that are really successful and see what works about them. Yeah. Absolutely. Something dramatic, but that has humor in it. I think that's a great idea. I think that's very smart. So I think people will pick up on that and be more willing to watch it for sure. Well, let's talk about whether or not you should do it on spec. What do you guys think? Should you shoot a few episodes, do a proof of concept, or should you just keep pitching it and trying to get the money without making anything? Does anyone have any opinions on that? Shoot it. Why do you say that? That's great. So do you think they would have been as interested if you'd gone into a room and just talked about it, pitched it? Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, when you make it, you have a proof of concept. It exists. It proves that the concept works. It proves that you're doing a good job as a director, a writer, whatever role you're is on it. And I think that it's more, you're going to have so much more leverage when you go into negotiating, doing more episodes, a contract, licensing the current episodes. It's really a great thing. My recommendation, though, is to not spend a lot of money on it, because you may not ever get that money back. I recommend that you don't, if you're kind of like kind of a regular middle class Joe like me, I think $5,000 to $6,000 is a good amount. I wouldn't spend more than that. And I kind of recommend that on short films too. People spend a lot more on short films, but in terms of just getting your money back, if your short film is more than about $7,000, it can be tricky to make all that money back. Or you could make a lot more money back. I've made short films that have made like $30,000. But it's, as a rule, I feel like it's keep it under $10,000. And the same thing for web series. It's a good experiment. You can get it out there. Maybe you do a short film version of it. You can use it. But if you lose that money and you don't get it back, it's not the end of the world. You haven't completely sunk yourself. Go ahead. Was there a question? I think I would recommend doing 3 episodes. I did 5. I think 3 is a little bit more realistic. Well, the question is, how many minutes should each episode be? Is that what you're asking? People differ on that. There used to be a consensus no more than 5 minutes. Obviously, you see my stuff is like a minute or less sometimes. Because I'm so nervous people won't stay engaged. I'm just insecure, so I just cut it out. Some people have made the argument that things can start getting longer and start breathing more. But I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I think in web series, shorter is better. I like 3 minutes. Stuff that goes beyond 3 minutes, I feel like sometimes it just feels like it's not edited well. It's not moving fast enough for me. But that's a total generalization. If you do a great web series and it's engaging for 10 minutes each episode, great. That's awesome. But I like to keep it short. Any other thoughts on that? Go ahead. That's hard cost. None of those actors were paid. So that's calling in a lot of favors and getting a lot of friends together and saying, hey, we're going to make something special. And then when you get funding, you bring them all back and then you pay them. Script Cops, the first 5 episodes, again, total hard cost, was about $7,000. But we made that back. It's worth taking the risk. I know in a lot of these panels, no one throws out numbers. No one wants to talk about money and budgets and stuff, but I'm going to a little bit. So, yes. So, I'm gonna hide the numbers a little bit, but you'll understand what I'm saying in a second. So, initial $7,000 investment in Script Cops, 5 episodes. It was a total pain in the butt to make. A lot of friends came out and worked on it. It was very hot and miserable. We shot 3 episodes in a day. We had to work very fast. It took forever to edit. But from that initial investment, if you count the original licensing of those first 5 episodes that Sony paid for, they paid to use them. They purchased distribution rights for, I think, 3 years. Then they had a budget to make 9 more episodes. Okay. And then they wanted a third season, one more episode. And then I licensed the final draft. And then doing all that led to a really easy deal with MTV Networks to do Never Do This. The total of all that money coming in to make all that stuff was probably about $125,000. So the original $7,000 investment turned into $125,000. Not that I kept, but money that was put into production and to make more stuff. So that's cool. So what I'm getting at is it can pay off in a cool way. And that's kind of like a medium-sized web series, I'd say. It's not huge. It's not nothing. It's kind of in the middle. But it was fun. It was fun to have those budgets to do some fun stuff with. Any other questions about that? Go ahead. No, we couldn't do it for the same amount of money because we actually had to pay everybody and all that stuff. And the episodes got a little bit more ambitious. Don't make the mistake I made, dummy, I can't tell a lie or hide anything. When they say, well, you know, what, how much did it cost to make those first? Don't tell them what it cost. Because they'll think, well, that's what the new ones will cost. No, no one got paid. They don't get it. You know, they're just like, oh, well, it's so cheap. Great, let's do it, you know. So don't tell them. Keep that a secret. They took care of me. They didn't pay me much more than what they cost, but a little bit. I thought they took care of me okay. Sony did. But yeah, keep that quiet. Don't make the same mistake I did. Stupid. Yeah, go ahead.
Sony.
No. Two things. I don't think the SAG New Media deal existed yet. I'm in Texas. So it's the right to work state, and it's just easier to do stuff non-SAG here, basically. So that helped. Go ahead. Boo, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. but times are changing, but that was before SAG adapted to new media. So all of us doing web series were all scared. We're like, oh, man, we can't hire SAG actors. They're too expensive. It's impossible. We have no money. You know, it's hard. I mean, we could barely afford to pay, you know, to feed people. So, I mean, that's the one thing you have to do. You have to feed people and give them water. But we all had fun. You know, it was a good time. Any last questions on that stuff? Yeah. For a web series, for trying to get a web series funded? No. I would say we've all kind of come to this consensus that it's good to actually just make a proof of concept. So make an episode or three and show that to people. Show them edited, completed, beginning to end. Then you can prove whether or not you can tell a story in just a few minutes. So I think that's the route to go. Yeah. No, I was going to talk about that a little bit later, but I'll touch on it now. We put it up online just for fun, just so our friends could see it. And a former student of mine went and interned at a company called Grouper, which was just being purchased by Sony. They changed the name to Crackle. So the point I'm making is put your stuff up and have your friends go out and tell people about it. And stuff happens. And if you network, if you go to a festival like this and you make new friends, and I can't tell you how many times I've had a, you know, famous Hollywood producer call me because they saw my reel, and it's like, hey, you know, one of your old friends you met at a film festival is my assistant now and gave me your reel. It's amazing how often that happens. It really happens. So, you know, I wouldn't have had a relationship with Adam Films, which became a part of MTV Networks, if it were not for a buddy of mine who said, hey, you should get your films distributed through Adam Films. So that's how that relationship started, and that led to the other web series. So I'll get to that, and actually we're coming to that right now. Let's come back to that in a few minutes. But that's what I would say, get your stuff up. I'm gonna just touch on writing a little bit. We already talked about how long episodes should be, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. There is something really scary. People know about this drop-off time, the average drop-off time on YouTube, how much time it takes before most people lose interest. It's like 11 seconds. So that's scary. You know, so you gotta hook people in the very beginning. Somehow get them interested somehow, and not to be too crass about it, but somehow there has to be something intriguing at the very beginning of your episode. So as you're writing, think about that, and give yourself time to write. I know this is really lame. This is my screenwriting professor coming out, but writing is rewriting. Give yourself time to rewrite your script. So many people write a first draft, they go out and shoot it. Don't do that. Write it a lot. Something you're investing your own money in. write it to death, and then go shoot it. Really recommend that. And then one more thing. A lot of folks, I'm just going to poll the room. Do people believe you can have a three-act structure in like a three-minute webisode? Who thinks yes? Raise your hand. Okay, enough of you believe it that I don't have to talk about it too much. But you can, and you should. So here's another question. Can a scene in a feature film, just a scene, a standalone scene, have a three-act structure? Raise your hand if you think it can. So if it can, your three-minute webisode can have a three-act structure. There's nothing more important than understanding. If you're telling stories, if you're going to make web series, each episode should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. That doesn't mean at the first plot point someone has to get shot. Like in a feature film, plot points are big, right? In a short film or in a web series, a plot point can be small. Like two people make eye contact and suddenly this person knows that that other person is interested in them. That can be a plot point. Okay, so I would really encourage you as you're writing your webisodes, think about three-act structure, okay, going into them. Get back to the basics. I'm going to touch on production and post-production very briefly. I think all of you understand production, basics of production. I don't want to dwell on it. Like I said, we did take we shot three episodes in a day. You have to shoot fast, you know, again, to save money. I want to touch on real quickly what people think a budget for one episode should be once they get someone to pay for their web series. Does anyone care to share, people who made a web series, how much and sold it? And how much did it cost per episode? I'm curious. Go ahead. At least $1,000 a minute. Okay, that sounds good. Other people? Go ahead. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a wide range. It depends on the production values. It depends on the needs. You know, a lot of times, for a long time, people were saying $5,000 an episode. That sort of existed, and then it kind of went away because all the money dwindled, you know. But now it's coming back. Now it's coming back. It's a good time to get into web series. So in terms of production budgets, I think $5,000 per episode is reasonable, and that's kind of in the range you were talking about if you have a five-minute episode. So this would be after someone is giving you the money and funding it, so that's just your total production budget per episode. Yeah, great. I want to talk about one mistake I made in post-production. I never put on Script Cops any credits or URL on the end. And it was so stupid. I just felt like it was funnier if it seemed like a PSA. So I never had any credits, and no one knew I ever made them. They got a lot of exposure. Do you guys have opinions about putting credits on? Who says put credits on? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, I did make a mistake. Damn. I always think, man, you know, people don't want to see those credits. It's dumb to have credits roll at the end of something so short, but, ah, crap. Yeah, right, I could have done it. Yeah, I know. You had a question back there? That's a great point. If you can keep your beginning interesting and get them past that 11 seconds, you're in great shape. Smart, yeah. Okay. Right, and that's what Final Draft did. They like put the slate at the very beginning once they licensed it. Yeah, back there.
Kind of
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right here. So he's not embedding it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. Well, let's get on to exposure, which we're kind of touching on already. I really believe there's no right or wrong answers to getting exposure. You know, I feel like those guys who did FCU, you know, they got exposure right away because they had Bill Murray in it. So, bam, done. But most of us don't have that opportunity. So how do you do it? Do you put your stuff online or keep it offline? What do you do? Do you hide it? Do you keep it? Do you put it on a Vimeo page and lock it up and only show it to some people? Or do you put it on YouTube and try to get the biggest audience possible? What do you think? Go ahead. Good, good. Other thought back there? Gotcha. So you're driving people to the website, basically. That's a great idea. I think that's good. Right. Other thoughts? I think it's good. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the old school thinking was that, yeah, that it was kind of a problem if you put it up. But the thinking nowadays, at least as far as I'm aware, is that you should get eyeballs on it because that's how people... So Sony never would have seen it if I kind of kept it hidden on a DVD or something. It's like, well, I made these trailers that are kind of cool. I really had to put it online. It doesn't diminish the value because if... the viewership goes up. Suddenly that has value. So if you have a viral hit, suddenly you're really in great shape because a sponsor wants to pay to reach your audience. Now, it's hard to get a giant viral hit, you know, to the point that someone's going to like pay you a lot of money to, you know, slap their logo on it. But you at least have to get it out there so people will see it. So I think you should get it out and have your friends go after it. It's always been through my friends. It's always been through relationships. They've shown it to people who worked in high places, and that's how it's done. So I would definitely recommend that. I think there is so much bad stuff out there that the good stuff really does rise to the surface. So if you made something really great, if you truly made something great, get it out there. I think people will see it. People will pay attention to it. Finally, in terms of exposure, I want to talk about web series festivals. There's these new festivals sprouting up that actually play web series. One is called LA Web Fest, which I'm going to in a few weeks. There's someone in the audience right here who's going to it, who's in that festival. It's a good place to network with other people like yourselves who are making web series, trying to get them off the ground, trying to get exposure. There are people there who might be, you know, interested in sponsoring web series. It's a good thing to do. I went to one last year, and they flew me to Marseille, France, for the first web series festival in all of Europe. And it was a great opportunity. And then I'm meeting more people, and there's people in France, and everyone in Marseille wants Americans to come shoot in Marseille, and they think the web is the way, you know? They think these web series makers are they're the next big thing. So get yourself out there, you know? If you haven't gotten a lot of traction with your web series, send it to a festival and go to the festival and see what happens. Any last questions before we move on to distribution? Yes, sir. Yeah. I think after you, my understanding of how it works, and someone else might be able to explain it better, but it, after you get a certain amount of views, they contact you, and you can decide whether or not you want to become a part of it. The people I know who have been asked to become a part of it did not do it. Why? Does anyone know why they might not want to do it? Well, the revenue is very low. That's true. But they don't want ads on their video. Because how many times do you keep watching an ad or a video where an ad pops up? I click off it. So, I don't know. It's just something to think about. Let's talk about distribution. As all of you guys know, there's tons of distributors out there. There's ways to get paid for your web series. You can go the studio route, like Sony, the Sony Crackle route, like I did. Or you can go, you know, with these aggregates, you know, like AOL and MSN and stuff. And I feel like, and you know, I went in and pitched to NBC once before their I forget what it was called. They had a web comedy division. It was Laugh something. Anyway, it went away. Yeah, they got rid of it. But I think that it's hard to just walk up to these folks coming like to this festival and shaking their hand. I mean, I'm terrible at that stuff. You're good at it, and you can pass them a business card and get them to look at your web series. Great. I'm terrible at that. I would just make something really cool, get it out there, and somebody's eventually going to get it to them. I'm not discouraging you from being a go-getter, but that's just the way I work. Or you can get a sponsor. So you can go to these studios, the aggregates, or you can get a sponsor. So for example, on Script Cops, while it was with Sony, the office over at Final Draft, everyone just was a big fan of the series, and they just contacted me. They just said, hey, we love it. We want to be involved at some point when the contract's up with Sony. A lot of times people will come to you. If you have a really great go-getter producer, like the guys on FCU, they had a great go-getter producer, took their short film that had Bill Murray that actually played in Sundance, said, hey, this would be great for a web series, and he went out looking for sponsors. He did all that hard work. I'm not a producer. My producer's not here today. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. If you're good at doing that, go out and do it. They got Samsung to sponsor their web series, and they had a pretty very healthy budget. So the contract. Let's talk about the contract. Who draws up the paperwork? You or them. Let's say you're going to sign with a sponsor or a studio. Go ahead. That's what I used to think. No, let them do it. Yeah, well, it's a very good... That's actually seems like the obvious answer, and that's what I always thought. And it's a nightmare because you have to do the paperwork. What do you got to do? You got to hire a lawyer to draw it up because do you know how to write legalese? You know, it's really hard. It's a pain. When we got the Sony contract, it was 26 pages long. It was a nightmare. It was basically like a television deal type contract, and it was very stressful. So you have to hire an entertainment attorney, unfortunately. Make friends with entertainment attorneys. I'll give you some budget numbers again, because I like doing that. My attorney was a pretty, through my agent in LA, we got hooked up with him, and his minimum for just looking at it and kind of going through it was $2,500. Right. But that's just becomes a part of the production budget. So if you can find someone to do it cheaper than that, who will do a good job, I recommend that. You might do a deal with an attorney who will, instead of you paying them hourly, it's kind of like having an agent where your agent gets 10% of what you earn. What does the attorney get, for those of you who know? I'm sorry? It's usually 5%. So if you can do a deal like that with your attorney, that would be great. But get a real attorney if you have a real deal. And I recommend that you do not supervise the negotiations. That was another mistake I made, and I was so stressed out I didn't have time to rewrite. And, you know, rewriting's everything. So by the time, I mean, I thought the whole deal was going to fall through. There's all this back and forth. The attorney's a total bulldog. It's a nightmare. And I think, you know, we're pushing back our shoot date, and I'm suddenly have no interest in writing. So get someone out, get your producer to focus on that. If you're creative, if you're the writer, stay away from that stuff. Questions about that real quick? Okay, good. I would proceed as if the project is happening during the contract negotiation. It's going to inevitably be stressful and no fun. So just proceed as if it's happening. Here's the biggest thing. Here's the biggest takeaway. A lot of these big companies, studios, will try to take your copyright and own it. Don't let them do that. Keep the copyright. That's the first thing you need to strike out. So because I still own the copyright on Script Cops, Sony funded the series. They pay all this money. We make it. And then after 3 years, I own it. And I can do whatever I want with it. I can sell it to someone else or get a different sponsor, whatever. And that's the way it should be, because these budgets aren't big enough for them to own it. It's not fair. They're not paying you enough money for them to own it. So make sure you continue to own it. Yeah, go ahead. No, it was in the contract, so it's hilarious. So they give you a deal points memo, you know, which kind of outlines all the deal points, and they seem fairly benign. And I was like, oh, cool, yeah, let's do this, great. And then they send you the 26-page contract. It's a bunch of, and then it's got a bunch of stuff in it that's not in the deal points memo, which is in big, important stuff, like the copyright. So don't miss that one. Don't skim over it. If you have a lawyer, they'll see it right away. I caught it right away because I was like, what? I didn't think it was going to be this. So keep an eye out for that. Now, did someone have another question? Okay. How much can you expect from existing, when you initially license your existing episodes? I think we already talked about that. It should be more than your hard costs. So just try to negotiate a little bit more than your hard costs. I think $5,000 to $15,000 for 3 to 5 episodes is reasonable. You know, all of them. Yeah, it is the chunk of them. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about life after the web series. We're almost out of time. I would say just continue to promote your web series. You know, when Script Cops was in Script Magazine, wasn't that long ago, I kept promoting it. You know, just keep it alive. Keep the project alive. It pays dividends. I think there's this idea now that you can parlay your directing career and web series to television. I think that's true. I think people are starting to believe that. No one used to really take it seriously, but I think agents and talent agents are believing that to be true. And we've seen some of that over at Funny or Die happening. You might get work in branded entertainment. So the whole ad industry is changing. You know, everybody's going toward this branded entertainment thing, and that's pretty much what web series are. So if you're interested in getting into commercials through web series, you can certainly do that. Yes? Yeah, I think everyone's going to be talking to you afterwards, including me. Anna, very nice to meet you. No, that's great. That's great. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a video podcast, basically. I don't... You mean getting that sponsored? Is that the question?
I mean getting it sponsored or just kind of like, you know,
because you should talk to her about that. I don't quite understand the question. I would just make it look good, and I would shoot it multi-camera if you can. Just get a few, two or three 5Ds, and make it look interesting so it's not boring. The more exciting it is, the more you have the ability to cut out the boring parts and keep it moving, keep it snappy, the better. Yeah. Yes. What is your question? Yeah, I mean, everybody shoots HD now, and it's fine, and you can put HD on the net now. It's great. Yes, Script Cops, when we first shot it, we didn't have an access to an HD camera. We made it so cheap. It was a long time ago. So that's why a lot of the episodes look real grainy and crappy. But yeah, we'd do it differently now if we could. Other questions? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, someday maybe when the audience for web series is really huge, because a lot, like a low budget commercial is like, you know, $70,000 for 30 seconds. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's web series out there that are close to that. I mean, I've seen some. I mean, I'm sure you all have seen some pretty impressive web series that seem really expensive, you know, here at the festival. But yeah, I don't know. I like to think so. Again, I think a lot of people believe the web is the way. I'm going to keep saying that. I wasn't convinced until I went to this web series festival last year that we really are pioneers. You know, it's like when television first started. You know, it's when motion picture cameras just started. We're doing something totally new, and it's clunky, and there's going to be kind of fits and starts. But you guys are on the front lines of this new frontier, and, you know, we just got to keep pushing west. One more question. My strategy was to pitch it to various companies that were funding web series. And you know what? Without that proof of concept, it's hard. It's just hard. People can't see it. It's not tangible. I've pitched some animated series. It's expensive to create animation. So it's tough. My strategy, I would like to make another web series, but it's a lot of work. I mean, Script Cops was hell to make. So I'm that what a horrible note to end on. Jeez. No, web is the way. It's a new frontier. Be excited. We got to end, guys. Thanks so much for coming. If you have questions, come up, chat with me.